Okay, this is lecture 32. We start a new subject today, section 6.6. Virmion path integrals. Review a little bit about bosons and fermions first. So bosons. These are typically described by operators A and A dagger, which satisfy a fundamental commutation relation, which is written as A bracket A dagger equal to 1. It's a substitute for the Heisenberg commutation relation. Along with that are obvious statements that AA commutes with itself and a dagger commutes with itself. The spectrum of the combination A dagger A, which plays the role of a number operator, is 0, 1, 2, and all positive integers. In contrast, bosons, I will call them little b and b dagger, they satisfy an alternative relation. I'm using curly braces here instead of the brackets, which stands for a plus sign in between the two terms, equal to, comma equal to 1. And analogously, we have bb dagger equals 0. Bracket equals 0, B dagger bracket equals 0. And this simply means that since it's a plus sign in here, that means B squared equals 0 and B dagger squared equals 0. As a consequence, the spectrum of the analogous operator B dagger B, the number operator in this case, is only 0 and 1. Either the state is empty or the state is full. Let's talk about states. And we'll start with our bosons again. Question? This is fermions. Yeah, I should write the word fermions above that. Okay? Yeah, good. Thank you. States, bosons again. So we'll introduce the number eigenvectors, which have are independent and orthogonalized and have eigenvalue n. Distinguished vector is the ground state, and A annihilates the ground state. A dagger operating on the ground state creates the first excited state, in particular A dagger, to power n divided by square root n factorial, acting on the ground state produced the state n. Over here for fermions, B dagger B operates on similar states and gives us a similar eigenvalues, except in this case, there are only two states, n equals 0 and n equals 1. B acting on the ground state here gives me 0. B dagger on the ground state gives me the only excited state, and since our space is so small, we can complete the family of things by saying that B dagger on one. If I want to create, try to create another one, I get zero. And if I have B operating on one, then I will lower myself from the so-called excited state to the ground state. We know about complex numbers, but it's very common in this world to introduce something else called Grassmann variables. Now, I'm not a great fan of naming things after people because it doesn't really tell you a great deal. And when I was a student, we used to call these by a different name. They were called anti-commuting C numbers, which tells you a lot more about what they are than saying they're Grassmann. But so what? Now, these are a little bit unusual objects, and so let's talk about them. I'm going to talk about, I'm going to call them psi. And there's going to be another guy we'll call psi bar. Psi bar is not equal to the mathematical adjoint of psi. Nevertheless, we call it psi adjoint. Give it the name adjoint, but it could not be the mathematical adjoint. I'll prove that to you in a second. This object satisfies anti-commutation relations with itself. So that means that psi squared equals zero. That bracket here means, where am I? The plus sign between the two terms. Psi bar equals zero. And finally, psi with psi bar itself equals zero. So in truth, psi bar is essentially an independent object from psi. Let's suppose, on the other hand, that it was the mathematical adjoint of psi. So just as a footnote over here, we'll talk about that. Psi adjoint, we'll call it, plus psi adjoint psi should add up to zero. These are two manifestly positive operators here in any form of realization you want to think about. So the sum of these two operators, both of them positive, is zero, means that each of them is zero themselves. The only way you can satisfy that is the sum of two non-negative quantities. And of course, if psi dagger psi equals zero, then let it act on any vector u, that will be zero. Let it act on u here. So that's the same as the length of the vector psi u squared equals zero. But in Hilbert space, there's only one vector which is zero. Psi u is the zero vector, and since that's true for an arbitrary vector, that simply says that the only solution to that equation is psi equals zero. Question?
Psi daggers is the psi bar.
The question is, or the comment is, psi that the dagger is the same as bar? That's your question.
Yeah.
Well, not in the way I'm going to use it. Dagger is reserved for mathematical adjoint. That's how I mean it right now. Bar stands for nothing in this case. It's naming another variable. It is better to call psi bar equal to lambda to make it as clear as possible that these guys are totally independent of one another. That's a better characterization of that situation. Nevertheless, this is customary. Okay, we're going to be talking about psi 1 and psi 2, therefore psi j, with subscripts. They're all going to be having the same kind of property, and they're all independent of each other. So psi L, psi M commutator will be 0, anti-commutator will be 0, etc. We know that psi squared is 0, but that I want to meet these guys independent of each other. So psi 1, psi 2, psi 3, etc., products, etc., is not 0. They are independent of each other. It's only the square of itself, which is 0. Likewise, psi bar, which is an ingredient in this, is not 0. It just happens to be the negative of psi bar psi. So that when I put them together in that combination with the plus, it would add up to 0. We have to make a choice of how the psi will deal with an operator B. So let me introduce a notation here. Psi check, call that thing's check, will either be psi or psi bar. B check will equal B or B dagger. Notice I'm using the dagger here as the true mathematical adjoint for the operator B. Okay? Right. So we will make the convention that psi cross, what did I call it?
Check.
Thank you. Will anti-commute with any of these guys. Those are independent checks. So that will happen. We have to make a convention about psi check and states. So we're going to say that it will commute with a state. Not all states, but the ground state. In fact, it does not commute with the one particle state, because that gives me a 1 over a minus sign over here. And how do I know that? Because that is equal to B dagger 0, which is minus B dagger psi check on 0. I bring the psi check through, B dagger 0 psi check. And now I finally have minus the one particle state psi check. So it becomes important to remember how these guys behave when they see states. Finally, we're going to talk about complex numbers. I'll call that C. And we'll say that psi check and a ordinary complex number will commute with each other in the standard way, as will ordinary operators B and B dagger, because that's just part of our natural lore. Okay. Oh, yes. Two more equations, or one more equation anyway. Two more equations. Psi bar psi is a combination of two of these fellows. And each one of them will anti-commute with that. So if I have a B dagger over here, let's say, I can move that through one of them. That will cost me a sign. Then I move it through the second one. That restores the sign. So as a consequence, psi dagger psi will commute with B check for either B or B dagger. And likewise, psi dagger psi will commute with another psi. I'll have to give it another name, so psi j equals 0 for the same reason that it anti-commutes with each one of these. So this is called an element of the even algebra. And you distinguish the algebra that you make from these psi's by what happens when you change all the elements psi into minus psi. This one clearly doesn't change, and what I mean by all, I mean that psi dagger will simultaneously change into minus psi dagger. So this guy doesn't change from this, but something with an odd number of psi's in it will change, and an odd number will then belong to the odd element odd element, odd algebra, rather. So psi 1, 2, 3, for example, is an element of the, well, in the, it's better English, better, it's in the odd algebra. This one should be in the even algebra. Okay. Now we're going to introduce fermionic coherent states. Psi. So that's another vector, and I'm labeling it by one of these Grassmann variables. That's given by the following. M times the catch zero, the ground state, plus the excited state times psi. Notice I put my psi on the right-hand side, and that makes a difference. Because if I put it on the left-hand side, it would have to have a minus sign. What about the capital M? M is an element of the, is in the even algebra, we'll find out. So M will commute with this, and with this, so it doesn't matter where M goes. We'd like to have our adjoint vector. So that's written the following way. O plus psi bar 1 times M. Now here is a notational abuse. I would like to think that this is an adjoint vector, adjoint to this. So here's again the word adjoint being misused. The vectors have done their duty, becoming adjoint, but I have not taken this into psi dagger, I've taken this into psi bar. So in truth, the label here is an independent Grassmann variable. We're going to choose the M so that this is a normalized vector. So we're going to study the inner product of psi bra with psi ket. So I have an M squared here. And then I have the inner product of this vector with that vector. Well, the 0 goes with the 0 and gives me 1. The psi bar 1 and the 1 psi, the 1's come together, give me 1, and I get a plus psi bar psi. I want to make that the number 1. Sam, you through with this fourth?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's solve for M. Here's the same equation. So M is this object with a square root sign.
But psi bar psi, these are not numbers in the usual sense. There's no numerical value to this.
We know in particular that psi bar psi quantity squared, psi bar psi 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 bar psi, I just used the anti-commutation to bring those two together, so that's minus psi bar psi squared psi bar, and that part is zero, so this quantity is zero. So if I make a Taylor series expansion of this, I get 1 minus a half psi bar psi. As an equivalent symbolic expression. Here is another equivalent symbolic expression for that, because by a power series expansion, they are the same again. So I will take this final choice as my choice for M. So my state then is e to the minus psi bar psi over 2 as normalization plus ket O plus ket 1 times psi.
Question.
You have labeled the state just with psi, but psi bar appears in the expression, so there's a bar associated with each psi.
Right. The notation in this business is a bit promiscuous, relaxed. For example, the states I have been calling PQ, apart from a phase vector, grant me the phase vector for the moment, are really often called these states, where Z is Q plus IP divided by square root of 2. And these states are given by this combination. So e to the minus absolute z squared over 2, sum from 0 to infinity z to the power n divided by square root n factorial n eigenvalue. So these are the boson states, or coherent states, actually. And modulo of phase vector, I'll put a little dot over there. But this part is true. And again, the notation is z, even though there's a z bar. The beautiful thing about the z-bar here is it comes in as an absolutely uniform normalization factor. If I brought up a psi with this, that would only be over here, and whatever the psi was, it would have the same common normalization factor. That's the fiction that gives us the right to ignore the other dependents. But you're absolutely right. It's a liberty taken with the notation.
Question.
Yes. Shouldn't the state be an eigenstate of B, the destruction operator?
Okay. So, in point of fact, the state Z we have just introduced, and this is out of context, but it was brought up, is an eigenstate of the annihilation operator with eigenvalue Z. So the analogy goes further. So let us bring up our vector B to our state psi. B will commute with M. So B walks in and sees O, and it sees the state 1 with a psi on the end of it. B on O gives me 0. This is emptied now and gives me psi. Psi walks through those two terms, and I am free to add to my state any amount of 1 that I like. In particular, I can add the same amount of 1 because I have a psi times a psi, which would be a psi squared. So this state is again my psi. So I have indeed established that this is an eigenvector, psi is an eigenvector for the operator little b with so-called eigenvalue equal to psi. Analogous to true mathematics, which holds for the boson situation. Indeed, these quantities are set up in quite purposeful parallel to what is true for these complex parameterized coherent states. Okay. Let us form the inner product.
Question. Why would you not call intercommuting C-numbers true mathematics?
Repeat the question, please.
What do you say was not true mathematics? What is not true about this?
The question is, what is not true mathematics about the anti-commuting C numbers? Um, to give you, see if I can give you a good example of that. Well, the example I like best is that I call it an adjoint and I don't, and it's not. I mean, that's not the adjoint vector in any proper sense. Okay, so the inner product of two of these coherent states, call them psi 2 and psi 1. It's going to be m2, m1 times the vector O plus psi 2 bar 1 times O plus 1 times psi 1. That's e to the minus psi bar 2 psi 2 divided by 2 minus psi bar 1 psi 1 divided by 2. And then here I have 1 plus psi bar 2 psi 1. So that's e to the minus psi bar 2 psi 2 over 2 minus psi bar 1 2. And then for this one, I'm going to replace it by the equivalent expression, which is e to the plus psi bar 2 psi 1. So I have a total exponential. And interestingly enough, for comparison purposes, ladies and gentlemen, it's a good thing we're doing this, that I will talk about the overlap of two coherent states of the z variety, which we have here. I take the psi away. And that's given by e to the minus z2 absolute squared over 2 minus z1 absolute squared over 2 plus z2 squared z2 star times z1. Quite analogous to the expression we have here. This is a complex number, and this is nobody's complex number. Yes, question.
Do you know that you can get two exponentials and you can combine?
Question is, can I combine the exponents like this? Well, these are elements of the even algebra, so they commute with everything. That's the whole point of that. Okay? All right. So I want to do two things with this expression. First, it's clear that if psi 1 and psi 2 are the same, so I drop the 2 and replace it by a 1, then I get cancellation up here. That's a half, that's a negative half, and that adds up to plus 1, kills that, and cancels. So it's e to the 0 or the number 1, which we've already agreed on. But I want to rewrite this same expression in a slightly different form. So the overlap of psi 2 with psi 1, then I'll write as, let me check the notes to get the right form. Minus a half psi 2 bar psi 2 minus psi 1 plus a half psi 2 bar minus psi 1 bar psi 1. Okay. Next thing, we're going to introduce integration rules. We say integral d psi equals 0. Integral d psi bar equals 0. Integral psi d psi equals 1. Integral psi bar d psi bar equals 1.
Are these to be taken as serious measure?
So the question is, should these be taken as serious measures? Absolutely not. There is no limits of integration here. This is pure symbolism. Purely symbolic. Physicists are wedded to a few things in life. Integrals, path integrals, happen to be one of them. And and they are insisting that they will create a formula for fermions which will imitate in every possible respect the same formula for bosons. As I say, do not try to interpret these as real integrals. D psi, in a way, is a new element. D psi is not a psi. Because if D psi was like psi, then that would be like psi squared, and that would be zero. But that can't be. We cannot tolerate that. So this is a new element. Nevertheless, it will commute, whether it has a bar or not, I say it will anti-commute with the size. Will have the same anti-commutation property that the size themselves do. Okay. Now we're ready to calculate the resolution of unity. Fermionic coherent states. What would that look like? That would look like an integral. We'd have a projection operator, back-to-back ket and bra, and an integration over d psi bar d psi. Symbolic integration. So what is that? That is integral m squared. And then I have O plus 1 psi. Then I have O as a bra plus psi bar 1. And then integral d psi bar d psi. Let us expand the m squared. So m squared, of course, is e to the minus psi bar psi, or 1 minus psi bar psi. Let us put that in there. 1 minus psi bar psi. There's only one term in this whole expression which can tolerate multiplication by psi bar psi and not give us zero. The only term that can do that is the O times the O, the ground state projection operator. If I had a psi there, or a psi bar, or both of them, this term would not contribute. So in addition to that, what do I have? Then I can regard the m squared as 1. I have a 1 O psi. I have a O 1 psi bar, ha ha ha, I need a minus sign there because I moved that guy through. And then I have a term which is a 1 psi psi bar, end of term, now integration variable, d psi bar, d psi. I didn't get a change of sign here because I moved both of these fellows through the 1 like that. Okay. Now we apply our integration rules. The one part will not contribute here because the only thing that will contribute when I have a d psi bar d psi, I have both of those integration variables to do, I must need something that is like a psi bar psi. I have to have both of those. There's one of them. There's the other one. This will give me nothing. This will give me nothing because this one does not carry a sidebar. This one does not carry a psi. The one will give me nothing because it doesn't carry either one. So let's put those together over here for the poor people who have to strain their heads. That's a sidebar psi, O, O, plus a 1, 1 psi sidebar. Integral d psi bar d psi. That's what we've reduced our integral to do. And now, of course, we never actually computed those.
find other ways to do it by our symbolic manipulation. Okay, the sidebar integrated with the psi gives me unity. The d psi with that psi gives me unity, and so I get that term. These guys are out of order to do that. So I switch them. I'll put it in front here. I'll just move the bar, actually, and get a plus sign out of that. And now they're ready to do the same thing, so I get that. And in my two-dimensional space, that is the unit operator. So the integration rules have been chosen to accomplish this, and of course they do. Let us go further now and build a path integral. By the way, analogous to all this is the statement for the bosons, the dz real, dz imaginary, divided by pi is the unit operator, and I leave that as an exercise for you to prove if you wish. So that's a perfectly analogous statement to our integral here for the fermions.
Except that question. This latter one is not really a symbolic integral.
No, of course. This is the latter one here is an absolutely true integral. I can even double integrate it from plus to minus infinity. I have limits. Yeah. Okay. So we're ready to do a path integral. We need a Hamiltonian. Well, there's not much you can do in a two-dimensional Hilbert space. So I'm going to make it B dagger B, the number operator. Give it some nice looking dimensions, H bar omega. The diagonal matrix element of this Hamiltonian, which we will eventually need, is H bar omega. The B will, well, let's do it. B dagger B on O plus 1 psi. O plus psi bar 1. The only thing that matters is the 1 state. It empties that, empties it here, and I get a psi bar psi. Not bar, please. I get a bar, not a cross, out of that combination. So this is my diagonal matrix, diagonal coherent state matrix element for our Hamiltonian operator. Here is our propagator in the coherent state representation. Minimized I Hamiltonian time divided by H bar, with a bra psi double prime and a ket psi prime. By now, we know what to do in a standard familiar way. We're going to put in many resolutions of, break this up into small time steps, and put in many resolutions of unity. So we have psi L plus 1, 1 minus I epsilon H, psi L, where epsilon again now, as I've learned finally, is to take t over n plus 1 and put the h bar in there. And then we have our product over integration variables, L equals 1 to capital N, d psi L bar, d psi L. Notice these all have to be independent Grassmann variables because I have now 2n of them. For a single fermion oscillator, we're still talking about 2n of those, and I don't want this to be zero, so I want each and every one of these to be independent Grassmann variables. Okay. Well, as we like to say, this is our best form, best form. We're going to bring it to a computer, but computers don't know what to do with grants and variables. So instead, we're going to do our standard. By the way, I made an error here, of course, by this expansion, so I must complete this with a limit epsilon to zero and n to infinity in the usual way that the product is the right amount. Okay. Well, this can be given a formal looking half integral, which is the following form, e to the I over h, I over h bar, I h bar inside, let's do the steps in between. So this is e to the, let's put in what this is approximately. So there's going to be the overlap of two sides with themselves, and that's the expression right there for that. So that's going to be minus 1/2 psi bar L plus 1 times psi L plus 1 minus psi L plus 1/2 psi bar L plus 1 minus psi bar L times psi L. And then I'm going to have something like minus I epsilon psi L plus 1 H psi L matrix element divided by psi L plus 1 psi L matrix element. That's all part of my summation. And then I have a product over the integration variables d psi bar L d psi L. Okay, now this is an approximation. Again, I need to take this formula in the sense of a limit epsilon to zero. And now I am finally going to interchange the integration and the limit and give it some different form. I'm going to put in for the minus, I'm going to put I times I. So I have an I divide, the epsilon's still good. I need an I over h bar integral I times h bar. This thing becomes psi bar d by dt psi minus d, this one becomes d by d psi bar d by dt psi. This one becomes minus expectation value of the Hamiltonian. In our particular case, we'll use that. We have to divide by h bar, so that will be simply omega times psi bar psi bracket dt curly dc psi bar curly d psi. So here we are. Absolutely the most formal thing you could imagine. Fair beyond. And again, let me put down for comparison what happens for the boson situation. We'll choose our Hamiltonian again. To be very similar, it will be proportional to the number operator A dagger A would use the same constants, h bar omega. And in this particular case, Z, on the Hamiltonian Z, is nothing but h bar omega Z star Z. Because the A acting on Z is an eigenvector. Z is an eigenvector, gives us eigenvalue little z. A dagger acting to the left on Z sees an eigenvector and gives us eigenvalue z star. So,
Just to complete the story then, e to the minus I h capital T divided by h bar z prime. Now we're talking bosons. We're talking real mathematics, except for the last expression here, which I'll write right down. E to the I by h bar integral. I times h bar. Z star dz by dt over 2. There should have been a 2 here, gentlemen. Times z times derivative z star dt times z minus the h bar goes out. We get an omega times z star z. End of integration, dt, curly dz star, or put an m in front to take care of the pi factor, dz real, dz imaginary. So, absolutely analogous between the bosons and the fermions. Sir?
Do you usually put a normalization factor for the fermionic?
No, there never was one. Because it's not an integral. There's nothing to normalize. Right? Okay, I have 3 minutes left. And I want to tell you about yet another approach to Grassmann variables. I beg your pardon, to fermions. Another fermion approach. And this uses real mathematics. We're going to introduce a variable chi, which lives between 1, it's in the unit circle. Introduce a two-dimensional state. The first component is square root of 1 minus chi squared, and the second component is chi. So this is complex, this is not. Obviously, chi adjoint, again, an abuse of notation, 1 minus absolute chi squared times chi star. Elementary to prove that projection operator chi star, a 2x2 matrix, I integrate d chi real, d chi imaginary, multiply by 2 over pi, and I recover the unit operator. Chi double prime chi prime for 2 of these is nothing but this. Product of the several 2 square roots involved. Plus chi star double prime times chi prime. Let me write for you a Hamiltonian and a path integral in 1.5 minutes. Hamiltonian will be the same as before, h bar omega b dagger b. The expectation value in the chi states B dagger B will sense only, I've arranged it to sense only the lower component. So that would be h bar omega times chi star chi. So, if I make that Hamiltonian and take its new coherent state representation, sometimes my chi's will look like an X, I'm afraid. You know the ritual. I write down the answer. Normalization factor because of the 2 over pi, e to the I by h bar integral, I h bar chi star, d chi dt, there's a factor 2, d chi star dt chi, minus omega chi star chi dt, d chi real, same functional form.
as the boson case. There is, of course, a difference. Here the z's cover the whole plane, while now the chi's somewhere live in the unit circle, right over, way over there. But nevertheless, the functional form is the same. What is the difference? The difference is that what the lattice approximation looks like. And of course, by the way, the answer for this integral is nothing other than chi star e to the minus I omega t, that's double prime chi times chi prime, or, and this equation holds true for the boson case, e to the minus I omega t, it just acts on the phase of the variable chi. So another equation of remarkable parallelism is that this is z prime e to the minus I omega t. Any questions? We're a moment over. Thank you.